This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the healthcare and news channels. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Mark Davis, president of HealthNet's Review Services and Davis Book Reviews. He is also the author of his latest book, Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disasters. This book discusses the detriments of government-controlled medical system from the healthcare professional's perspective. Dr. Davis, a privilege to have you back with us here on eHealth Radio.
Thank you for having me, Eric. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. So first of all, what are the key elements of Obamacare for the listeners that aren't really up to speed?
Obamacare is a legislation that was passed in March of 2010 through some very devious techniques in the Congress. It consists of several thousand pages of tenets to control every aspect of medical care. Basically, these several thousand pages are not the regulations. There'll be thousands of more pages that come from Health and Human Services to regulate what came to be known as Obamacare. Obamacare is the Patient Affordable Act for healthcare. Basically, it distills down to this. It's the patient, the provider, and the payer. The patient is a lab rat in a maze of untested and untried methodologies that the government's trying to employ to enable healthcare to be more accessible to people and more economical. Both elements I just mentioned will not be achieved because the bill itself is flawed from top to bottom. For the provider is given treatment plans. He's basically told how to practice. He'll tell when to practice, where to practice, how to practice. And it constrains doctors from giving cutting-edge and or being aggressive therapies for his patients. And the payer is the in-between person, the person or entity that pays the bills. The payer, in this case, is going to be the government, who has our money and is going to channel it to whom he, we call he, the Uncle Sam, wants it to go to. So it's the payer, the patient, and the provider. Those are the three major elements of this bill. Of course, it's a lot more complicated than that, but that's how it distills down. So when we look at Obamacare, we look at what are they offering. They first offered total access to care, which is not going to be the case since we're going to introduce millions of new patients, whomever they are, and the number of providers that do primary and secondary care are not sufficient to keep up. The providers themselves are hesitant to work under such a plan because it turns them into indentured servants in regard. Basically, they become slaves to the system where they're told how many patients they can have, how to practice, and doctors who are aggressive to get to the end point, a cure, will be stifled in many respects. The government has already issued a number of studies that were fraudulent for cataract, hip replacement, prostate, mammogram studies, and these are all schemes by the government to block care to be provided to the patients themselves. So you have to remember the three elements. It's the payer, which is the insurance company and or the government, usually it's the government, the patient, and the provider, basically.
Why will Obamacare ultimately fail?
The algorithms for which it is based are flawed. Ezekiel Emanuel, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, MD, PhD from Harvard, was one of the architects of Obamacare. Now, he was interviewed recently on the Andy Dean Show, and Andy went right at him with a lot of very intuitive questions, and Dr. Emanuel did not like the questions, and I don't blame him because they were right on. The question that was specifically asked, how is this economically feasible to provide more care to everybody at a reduced cost? Ezekiel Emanuel came back and said, we need to get many, many young people, up to 7 million young people, into the system that are not sick to support the bulk of people coming in on the other end, the people that are infirm, elderly, sick, that kind of thing. And as we've seen now with the exchanges, The exchanges are failing all over the country. The president yesterday, which would be October 21st, gave a speech at the White House apologizing for the exchanges not being up to par. And what are you exchanging there? You're exchanging your information, which is your military record, your criminal record, your health record. Too much information is being employed into the system, and they can't keep up. Basically, the system cannot keep up with the people that are calling in. How many people have actually enrolled in this failing system? We don't know because the White House will not release how many. We know how many people have called in, 20 million people. We know how many people have gotten through, maybe a 10% of that. And how many people have signed up? Only God knows because we don't know. The system will fail because it's economically not feasible to expand services to a huge population of entrants, new people, into the system, up to 50 million, and contain costs. It's just not the way other social systems have come about to help patient at the endpoint. What Obamacare is basically is a hodgepodge of rules and regulations that sort of step on each other, and at the end point, you don't get what you were promised, more access and better care. Cutting-edge therapies will not be available to you because they're too expensive. Doctors will not go to the nth degree in their surgeries because they're simply afraid there's too many rules and regulations that will curtail their therapies. So the system, as it stands right now, is economically flawed. The access is not there. And the patients themselves will find this out in due course with it. This is not about Democrats or Republicans or liberals or conservatives. This is about the patient on the level, the ground level. Now, when you have, as I mentioned in the book, Obamacare Dead on Arrival, Prescription for Disaster, a city like Philadelphia with over 500,000 people needing AMBO services is an example in the book, denoting that one night there was only two or three AMBOs available in different parts of the city. When they needed 5 or 10 ambulances, people died. People will die when care is rationed and or curtailed. This is what's going to happen. There's already a scarcity of chemotherapy drugs, cardiological drugs, and more. Introduction at this year, 2013, January, with 12 new taxes, which is a major burden to pharmaceutical companies, medical device companies, and more. And the book elaborates on this very much. But Obamacare Dead on Arrival tells you a lot more. It is also a guide how to get around the system, in a sense warning you not to go this way when you may go that way. And that is very important to people to know. There is a good book out there about the survival under Obamacare, but there's really no survival because treatments are curtailed and people will die. The cover of the book shows a cemetery with headstones noting victim of Obamacare, and these people will actually, will be actually people under those stones eventually, simply because they couldn't get care and or the care was too expensive and or wasn't available. And I can provide instances in the book that show this.
So, Dr. Davis, why would you say that your book is a must-read to understand Obamacare fully?
Obamacare Dead on Arrival, Prescription for Disaster starts off discussing the system, how it is, how there's a multiplicity of diseases and different entities that run the system. It gives you a good picture of where we are in America right now in the health system. And people need to know this. It discusses how Medicare came about for very good intentions and degenerated into a bad system that needed an overhaul. And it continues to go down, and that wasn't addressed in this particular Obamacare legislation. The book discusses in detail why rationing of medical care by governments is bad, who will be hurt, how they will be hurt. It discusses how Canada, as an example, system has failed on many, many levels, why so many can't come here. As an example, a CAT scan may take up to 12 weeks, an MRI may take up to 20 weeks in Canada, where here in America we can get these in hours, even days, therapies like this. It tells you that they're going to curtail approval of so many radiological units, so there'll be more demand, but less of these units to have your X-ray or your CT scan or whatever you may need, your doctor may order for you. The book is a necessity because it discusses the heart and soul of Obamacare from the human perspective, from the healthcare practitioner's level, from the patient's level. All the books out there so far about the economics of healthcare, this is about the personal aspects of healthcare and how it will hurt people. And there's a multiplicity of examples in the book discussing what has happened to people when there's a scarcity of care. And then the examples are alarming. One specific case that we noted where a patient was trying to get into the emergency room, there were just too many people with cold and sore throats when the seizure patient tried to get into the was left to stay in the waiting area of the hospital, and then finally the patient succumbed in the waiting area. So these are the things that we will see. They will be buried by the media, especially the left-wing media, unfortunately, and we won't be hearing about the atrocities, but they will be occurring because this practitioner has seen them. As a physician, I've owned and operated multiple health facilities. I've seen many of the things that the government has done, not in the patient's favor, just to control costs. And I can tell you they'll blame it on the practitioner every time, not their own inabilities to function as they should be doing. So the book is very important in the sense that it covers new areas where other books don't, and the large publishers asked me to change certain things in the book to make it more palatable, and I refused to. That's why the book was done by Amazon people, who are wonderful. And all the information that I set out to place in the book is in the book and available through many outlets if you'd like to have a copy.
Good stuff. Today we are with Dr. Mark Davis, president of HealthNet's Review Services and Davis Book Reviews. He is also the author of his latest book, Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disasters. Dr. Davis is also a federal lobbyist for health issues and a media advisor for health care and related issues, and he's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Healthcare and News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Davis, what effects will Obamacare have on individual patients in terms of access to service and treatments?
Access will not be immediate. You remember the good old days when you could call your doctor up and get in the next day or two, and maybe weeks and or months to get in to see a physician. To get to see a specialist, you'll have to go through what we call a gatekeeper, your primary care doctor, and he may keep you at bay for a period of time. RomneyCare, which is discussed in the book in its own chapter, displays how many doctors limited their practices to certain numbers of patients, and there weren't that many new practitioners coming into the system, and therefore the waits increased and increased and increased. So for access purposes, access will be reduced dramatically. Getting in to see a cardiologist or an oncologist, you may not be able to get in at all. A lot of doctors are retiring early. A lot of doctors are limiting their practice. A lot of doctors are going into concierge practices, which basically is a cash practice, staying away from the insurance companies and or Obamacare. I'm sure the states will try to make that illegal, but right now they're quite legal. And they're also being put into place in Canada. The government doesn't like to have private practice in the country, but they're allowing it because the need for doctors is so great. So we could see a failed system in Canada, a system that may not be failed in England, but is moving in that direction. And America is just right behind them if this whole system of Obamacare gets implemented. I certainly believe that it's going to fail under its own weight when people try to get what they want and they can't, especially the people that are supporting Obamacare, as the unions did, and they found out very quickly that they're not going to get what they were told by the government. So access to services will be decreased. Treatments will be trimmed down. For example, there was a mammogram study by a quasi-government group saying maybe mammograms should be pushed to later in people's lives, past 40, when we know there's a lot of breast cancer for younger patients. So that was one. A cataract study showing that maybe too many cataract surgeries are being done. But that was a flawed study, too. There was a hip replacement study showing many hip replacements for older people may not be as effective when they are effective. Of course, we see them being done all the time, and they do work very well, especially for people my age, early 60s and onwards. So treatments will be curtailed. Now, will cutting-edge therapies be available? By and large, no. I have an example of a lady who needed Herceptin under the British system, which is for breast cancer. She wasn't allowed to get it simply because it wasn't on their pharmacopoeia. So America is going to have their own list. Pharmacopoeia is a list of drugs. And if it's not on the list, you don't get it. And as the cutting edge drug, you better have a lot of money or be able to go somewhere else to get these type of drugs, because they're not going to be here in America. And the other thing is, in line with the treatments, doctors may not want to go to the edge anymore for treatment. They may go for more palliation than cure, simply because that would be the protocol that the government sets out. And I had a loved one recently pass who was getting palliation from one of the hospitals here, and when he may have been able to go on for more treatment to stay alive longer, and they didn't recommend it. It was a government-controlled facility. So we're going to see stuff very quietly infiltrate through the system, and that means that the less care, less access, less cutting-edge materials going to the patients, pretty much.
And in conclusion, why are health professionals running away from the monstrous legislation?
Well, for one reason, economics. The costs are very high to run a practice. Malpractice insurance in many fields is over $100,000 a year. If you add in all the office costs, they can't generate enough funds to stay in practice. Number two, it's too constricting, Obamacare. When it provides treatment plans, and you better stick to them, or your license could be restricted and or removed from you. Three, it sets up political boards around the country to judge doctors, and many people on those boards are not physicians. Specifically here in Maryland, there's a 21-member medical board. 8 members are not physicians. The head of the medical board, believe it or not, is a lawyer, not a physician. So we're going to see lots and lots of political boards, and we're going to see them judge doctors simply on the basis of economics more than anything else. They may say otherwise, but when you examine it to the nth degree, doctors will run away from the politics of healthcare because they simply went into practice to practice medicine, not to practice politics. And the burdens that are being placed on the physician, the health provider, are enormous. The other thing is the system will request or require more secondary and tertiary people, nurse practitioners and so forth, to get into the system, which will negate a lot of the responsibilities of physicians, but still the doctor will be the ultimate overseer of these people. And that's wrong, because the physician has double, even triple the training of nurse practitioners, yet they're going to give these people the ability to do the same things physicians are doing. Eventually, you'll have nurse practitioner, MD. I won't be surprised in some of the pilot programs that are going into effect with Obamacare. So that's some of the reasons doctors are running away from this, from economics, constriction in treatments, and eventually licensing issues.
Certainly been good to have you to give us a review of this topic. How about telling our listeners where they can get more information on the book, Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disasters, and to make their purchase?
Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disasters is available on Amazon. It's on Kindle. It'll soon be on the Nook. It'll be soon available through any store in the country. You just go up to the desk. If they don't have it, and they'll order it for you. But Amazon always has it, and it's a next-day delivery. If you request it in your stores, they'll stock it for you there. If you want bulk purchases of the book, many people ask for that, just contact me at Plato, PLATOMD, at gmail.com. If you want a seminar on this, PlatoMD@gmail.com, or call phone number 410-515-7858. That's 410-515-7858. I am president of HealthNet's Review Services and Davis Book Reviews, which is www.healthnetreviewservices.com. That's www.healthnetreviewservices.com. Always available to talk to people. And if you want a book signing or any of this, please let me know. Again, PlatoMD@gmail.com. Be happy to accommodate anybody. We're very interested in getting the book out there, and we'll be happy to do whatever we need to do that task.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Dr. Mark Davis, president of HealthNet's Review Services and Davis Book Reviews. He's also the author of his latest book, Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disasters. This book discusses the detriments of a government-controlled medical system from the healthcare professionals' perspective. And the website of reference once again is healthnetsreviewservices.com. Dr. Davis, thanks so much for being with us here once again on eHealth Radio.
Thank you, Eric. It was a pleasure to be with you. Hope to see you soon. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Healthcare and News Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.